ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यामघोषं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपादनामयं ददाति सापदान्तिकम् नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामी नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशकारिणे वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च अतीतानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण। सो वी वुड लाइक टू थैंक ऑल द डिवोटीज स्पेशली द टेंपल मैनेजमेंट फॉर गिविंग अस दिस अपॉर्चुनिटी टू सर्व बाय स्पीकिंग अबाउट द ग्लोरीज द पास्ट टाइम्स द मैसेज द सुप्रीम पर्सनलिटी ऑफ गॉड श्री कृष्ण। If I can have the Bhagavad Gita as it is, it's right here. Okay. Thank you. Yes, it's right here. So today I would like to read this verse from the second chapter, chapter entitled Contents of the Gita Summarized. From Bhagavad Gita as it is, text number 69. Before I begin, I would like to just mention the fact that it's exactly one paksha, means one fortnight short of 2 years since I was here previously. It was Narasimha Chatushashi 2 years ago. So I'm very happy to be here. Thank you very much. This is a verse wherein Krishna is contrasting attitudes of two classes of men. So first we'll read the verse. And I would request all of you to repeat after me. We'll read the translation and then we will discuss briefly on it. Ya Nisha Sarva Bhutanam
Asyam
Jagarati Samyami Yasyam
Jagrati
Bhutani
Sa
Nisha
Pashyato
Munehe
Ya Nisha Sarva Bhutanam
Yasyam Jagrati Bhutani
Sa Nisha Pashyato Munehe
Translation: what is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-control. And the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. Or put by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. There are two classes of intelligent men. One is intelligent in material altruistic activities for sense gratification, and the other is introspective and awake to the cultivation of self-realization. Activities of the introspective sage or thoughtful man are night for persons materially absorbed. Materialistic persons remain asleep in such a night due to their ignorance of self-realization. The introspective sage remains alert in the night of the materialistic men. The sage feels transcendental pleasure in the gradual advancement of spiritual culture, whereas the man in materialistic activities, being asleep to self-realization, dreams of varieties of sense pleasure, feeling sometimes happy and sometimes distressed in his sleeping condition. The introspective man is always indifferent to materialistic happiness and distress. He goes on with his self-realization activities undisturbed by his material reactions. Before I begin my presentation of this verse, I would like to seek blessings of senior devotees, especially their disciples of Srila Prabhupada in the audience. So the message is very clear. The message is that intelligence can be used in different ways. Basically two. One is where the intelligence is used to try and understand how Krishna is all attractive. And therefore the process to understand Krishna, the process to serve Krishna, the process to express one's love and affection for Krishna is also very attractive. And the other way that the intelligence can be used is trying to see if one can extend the pleasure that is obtained through sense enjoyment. Srila Prabhupada, he is giving his exposition on Krishna's advice to Arjuna. Krishna is speaking very succinctly to Arjuna. He knows Arjuna will understand. Arjuna has the capacity to understand cryptic messages. What is night for the introspective sage is a time of activity for the materialistic person. And when the introspective sage is very active in self-realization, the materialistic people feel lethargic towards such endeavor. So very cryptic. What does it mean? Once I was speaking to certain students at the Mumbai University back in India, and I was discussing this verse, and I said, this is how it is. If one has the inclination, if there is an inclination for understanding the process of Krishna consciousness, then there is enthusiasm. One is very awake, one is very much interested. So the student said, can I ask a question? I said, yes, please. And very innocently, the student asked me, how is it that in Srimad Bhagavatam class, so many people are sleeping? So I have to be innovative right there and then. I said, they are actually in meditation. So, this is a tension between the body and the eternal soul, this constant pull. The body is interested in performing activities of Krishna consciousness as long as the body receives its rewards. So if there is a festival coming up, nice prasadam, the body is interested. And the body will cooperate. But come, you know, certain rigorous practices like Nirjal Ekadashi or something like that, or attending a regular programs on hearing or morning program, then the body immediately tries to convince us, although the body is matter, we are speaking of the body as the consciousness reflected, the consciousness of the soul that is reflected in the body, that covered consciousness. So there the body convinces us that we are too weak right now. We need some extra rest. We need some nutrition. So there is this constant struggle. It is there. And it is very graphically seen when we consider the motives, the goal, the purpose of those who believe in a higher purpose in life, and those who feel that life is simply meant to enjoy all other species. Basically, the human species feels, especially when one is materially conditioned, they feel that all other species is meant for their satisfaction. Those species can be insects or four-legged animals, aquatics, trees. The fruits are for my pleasure, the flowers for my satisfaction, the fishes we should have in our aquarium, the animals caged up in a zoo. The only species that should be enjoying all that is available in creation is the human species, because the human species is God's great gift to this universe. The human form of life is a great gift. But when the human form of life is not used for self-realization, we are not God's gift to this creation. We actually become a being. Dangerous for every other living entity. And we can see the consequences. And when there is rampant materialism in the present times, in Kali Yuga, we can see the consequences. Just last week, someone sent me this news. The last white rhino on the planet, male white rhino. And there are like four guards, like soldiers, protecting the rhino. Now, one of the greatest attributes of a rhinoceros is its horn. The animal psychologists, I don't remember the term by which they are known as, addressed as, but the animal psychologists, those who have studied the behavior of rhinoceroses, they know that this is very, the horn is very important for the male rhino. So just to protect this male rhino, they have taken out its horn, so that it will not be poached. So basically the rhino does not have much potency left anymore, although it is the last. Anyways, so we can see that the selfishness of, or let us say, the intense fire, the desire to have everything for oneself. And at the most, all we want to share is share with those who we consider our own, me and mine. It is creating so much havoc in society, havoc in nature. As spiritual practitioners in Krishna consciousness, we read the Ramayana and we read the Mahabharata, and we read about how there was a great sage Vasishtha, and in his ashram there were lions and tigers and deers and rabbits and all, you know, existing very peacefully with each other. You think, wow, no wonder this depicts a mythology. How is it ever possible? Forget about us wondering whether it is possible or not. It does not depend on our acceptance of that being true or not. This is a historical fact. So what kind of consciousness leads to degradation of society? What kind of consciousness leads to exploitation of all the resources of material nature? It is important to understand that. How can we understand that? Not through the, you know, the soap operas, the so many performances by celebrities all over the world. They may, to some extent, project, we must protect nature, we must protect the animals. But Srila Prabhupada, in one conversation, he says, they are saying that we must protect certain species, mentions a few species, and at the same time, they're killing the cow and eating it. Yes? Now, how can one be, not all, slowly, many of the activists, they are adopting a different lifestyle. In today's times, we have seen many activists have a different lifestyle, but quite a few of them, they are agitating or they are trying to protect the rights of animals, eating steak, bacon. On this big billboard. Sorry. Hare Krishna. Give me more chicken. Why would a cow want chicken? Doesn't really make sense. I don't know if there's some other, message there. But for me, who's coming from India, I understand English in the literal sense. Four more chicken. A happy cow. Brazil, so much of land is being just used for cultivation of cash crops in Brazil. So much. In fact, 60% of the forests have disappeared. At least in America, they have what is known as sustainable lumber industry, biosustainable. Brazil, there are no laws like that. So even if the activists will try and project their voice of concern, if we do not understand the truth of the matter, that is, as long as the soul is not situated in the constitutional position of wanting to serve, then the covered consciousness simply will exhibit itself in terms of, I want to enjoy. There's no other option. It's either shelter of the internal potency or shelter of the external potency. The soul is marginal potency. So either we become great souls, Mahatmanas to Maham Partha, Devim Prakriti Mahashrita, or we become the Dushkritis. Under the influence of the external energy, Ahankara vimudhatma karta aham iti manyate. Under the influence of the false ego, I am the enjoyer. Therefore, what I see, how I see, is the best way that things could work. Srila Prabhupada is saying, this is what an introspective sage is asleep to. It's not that the introspective sage, not just in the gross way that introspective sage does not read newspapers or does not watch, must surf on the internet. Introspective sage is someone who does not have a WhatsApp account. It's not just that. What is being addressed here is the attitude, the consciousness. So there is either Krishna consciousness or there is I consciousness, Ahankar. Now, how many devotees in the audience understand Hindi? I would like to see a show of hands. Okay, Because yesterday I was at another program with another devotee, and I heard something which I would like to just again repeat verbatim as it is, and then we'll translate it into English if need be.
Need be.
Well, I guess it's sort of self-explanatory. So this devotee was explaining how one of his friends came up to him. It basically explains these two classes of intelligent men, intelligent people. That he had a friend who was getting married, so he comes up to him and says, "Hey, I'm getting married. Now please," this is from the context of the Indian subcontinent. So there are certain rituals that are still existing in the Indian subcontinent. So accept a rendition with a grain of salt. So the friend is getting married, he's gotten engaged. So he comes up to a devotee and says, "I'm very happy. I've gotten engaged and I'm very soon getting married." So his friend, so the devotee says, "What are you happy about?" "I'm sorry, I didn't really mean it to be like that." So he said, "Well, I got two gifts in marriage. For my engagement, I received two gifts. Thank you. I received a ring and a car." So the devotee said, "Well, even if you don't get married, you get a ring and a car too." He said, "How?" He said, "Well, everyone has suffering and ahankar." So, ahankar means the ego. So that is what we got married to. We received as gifts, you know, when we came to the material world, suffering and ahankar. Sitting in the ahankar, we are bound by the suffering of this material world. Every single one of us. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this has been explained very, very explicitly in two verses, Bengali verses. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he writes, "Atma Indri Priti Vancha Tare Bale Kama Krishna Indri Priti Iccha Dhare Prema Nama." So Krishna Indri Priti Cha, when we express a desire to satisfy Krishna's senses, Dhare Premanam, that is what is love. And when the same consciousness is expressed, when the same desire is expressed for self-satisfaction, then it is lust. And Kaviraj Goswami says the difference between lust and love is the difference between iron and gold. Lust being iron and gold being love. So, should we take it just literally that Krishna consciousness means self-abnegation? Although in one's purport, Prabhupada does use that word. But he explains what self-abnegation means. Self-abnegation means that if there is a need to decorate oneself, then one does it for the pleasure of Krishna. It's not that we come really unkempt before Krishna. "Hey Krishna, I was so much engaged in serving you, I forgot to take a bath." Yeah. No. We groom ourselves so that Krishna is pleased with us. So that is Krishna Indri Priti Vancha, where the self is important in the light of Krishna consciousness, in the presence of Krishna, with the Krishna connection. So now I would like to narrate a very short story from Vrindavan Dham. The story is from 500 years ago. This is a popular story in Vrindavan. You won't find it in the regular scriptures that we read. This is like a Loka Katha. It has been transmitted from father to son, from friend to friend like that. Very popular. So in Vrindavan, Sanatan Goswami, the greatest of the saintly personalities, one of the greatest, was residing on the banks of the river Yamuna. And he was completely engrossed in chanting Hare Krishna. At one point of time when he was in Vrindavan Dham, very close to Keshi Ghat, at a place known as Dwadash Aditya Teerth, where 12 suns had appeared to cool off Krishna. Yes? Sorry, to give Krishna heat, because Krishna was feeling cold after having jumped into the Yamuna and having stayed there for quite some time. He came out and was standing on this hill, and the 12 sons of Aditi, all of the Adityas, they surrounded him so that they could warm up Krishna, give him warmth. So that place is known as Dwadasha Aditya Teerth. Sanatan Goswami was practicing his bhajan. He was practicing chanting of the holy names in meditation right there. And somehow or the other, he had an interaction with the deity form of the Lord as Madan Mohan. He would spend a couple of hours going from house to house asking for some food, madhukari. And in one particular house, Mr. Chauvet's house, he found a beautiful boy who ran right into the house. And Sanatana Goswami somehow was so attracted to him that he followed the boy. And the boy entered the temple room of Mr. Chauvet. And suddenly, when Sanatana Goswami enters the temple room, there's no longer any boy, there's just a deity. The deity of Madan Mohan. So very soon, Madan Mohanji decides to come and stay with Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami is very much concerned. He says, "My dear Lord, please be satisfied where you are. You know, staying there, you're used to eating 3 times a day. And Mrs. Chauvet there, she cooks hot chapatis for you right off the stub of the fire. And here I am, renunciate, I do madhukari, I barely get enough wheat flour. So I won't be able to serve you." So Madan Mohan says, "It's all right. I just want to be with you. I don't care about food 3 times a day. He said, "My dear Lord, I am so much engrossed in chanting of your names and meditating on your pastimes, sometimes I may forget to offer you any service. So please stay with Mr. Chauvet." And Madan Mohan says, "No, I have decided to stay with you." Sanatana Goswami is really very much confused what to do. It's not that he doesn't want the deity to serve the deity, but he is feeling unqualified to serve the deity. And Madan Mohan is completely decided that I want to stay with him and be served by his hands. So finally Sanatana Goswami says, "All right, please sign this legal document. It states here that you will be satisfied with whatever I offer you and won't demand anything more." Lord Madan Mohan signs that document. And the very next day, Sanatana Goswami happens to get some wheat flour and he makes balls out of it, mixing some Jamuna water. Actually, he had a well right there. Krishna made a well for him because he wouldn't even go to get water for his own maintenance. Krishna said, "Baba, you can live. I need water to drink. Let me make a well for you." So he makes a well. So he uses some of that well water, fresh water, sweet water. In Vrindavan, it's very difficult to find sweet water. So this is a well of fresh, sweet water. So he takes some of that, mixes with the wheat flour, makes balls, puts it in the fire, and as the balls get roasted in the fire, not the direct fire, the ashes, as they get roasted, he picks the balls off that have been roasted, dusts off the dust, and says, "Please, my dear Lord," and makes an offering unto him. Exactly, Madan Mohan, for exactly 2 days, he accepts the offering. The next day he says, "Sanatan, my dear Sanatan, oh Baba, at least give me some salt." And Sanatan says, "Today you are asking salt, tomorrow you will ask something else. How can I serve you like that?" This is a wonderful reciprocation that is happening between the Lord and his devotee. This is the realized state. Anyways, this was just to explain some of the background of Sanatana Goswami, who he is. The great saintly personality. So Sanatana Goswami was spending some time on the banks of the Yamuna, and he was chanting the holy names incessantly. One day he has a visitor. This visitor has come all the way from the high peaks of the Himalayas. This gentleman had trekked all the way to the Himalayas. That's like at least 600 miles, 800 miles away from Vrindavan. So he had gone all the way into the Himalayas to appease Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva had sent him with a recommendation letter to Sanatana Goswami. He had a desire that he had expressed to Lord Shiva. "My dear Lord, please make me very wealthy." So Lord Shiva has already had, Lord Shiva has lots of experienced people who come to him and ask for wealth. He understands that their wealth, their desire is unquenchable, this thirst for wealth is unquenchable, he knows that. But in this particular instance, he was merciful. Lord Shiva was merciful on this devotee of his. He says, "Let me give you a recommendation letter. Take it to Sanatana Goswami. And when Sanatana Goswami reads my recommendation, he will help you in this matter." So he's very happy to receive that. But unfortunately, he has no idea who Sanatana Goswami, whether he can trust him or not. You know, Sanatana Goswami could be a Baba from Chinatown. You're not sure how long the appliance will last. Whether it is dependable or not, so he's not really sure about that. So should he trek all the way back to Vrindavan and find out, "Oh my God, this is not what I thought it is." So just to be sure, he said, "What is it that I will get from Sanatana Goswami?" And he said, "Just to be clear, I should not come back with something less. So what is it that I will get from Sanatana Goswami?" And Lord Shiva tells him, "You'll get the parasman. You get a touchstone." He says, "Really? You mean that stone that when touched to any metal it turns it into gold?" He says, "Yes, you'll be receiving the parasmani, the touchstone." So then the gentleman goes to Sanatana Goswami in Vrindavan, and this particular day Sanatana Goswami has this visitor, and very soon he understands the desire of this visitor, and he says, "All right, I'll give you the parasmani." Now this man is very happy. He says, "I knew. I have complete faith in saintly personalities. They are totally detached from material acquisitions. Therefore I have come to you. I knew that you would offer me help." You know how in this material world people have their flip-flop sides. If they get that which is desirable to them, then they are full of praises for you. And as soon as they don't receive, or they receive something undesirable, it's like hell's wrath on you. And like there's so many abuses and criticism. So here he is expressing his happiness. "Yes, I knew that saintly personalities simply exist for the welfare of conditioned souls like me." Speaks philosophy. "Please, where is the parasmani? Sanatana Goswami looks around the bank of the river and says, it is somewhere here in the dust, in the bushes. The man is so eager to find the Parasmani that he immediately goes searching into the bushes and he finds the touchstone. And he thanks Sanatana Goswami, goes back home, and he has loads and loads of gold now. So much gold, that finally he's tired of all the gold. Yes? That is how material world is. There is something that we really, really want. We are like spending sleepless night to achieve that, and once we have achieved it, just for a moment we feel satisfied, relieved, and then another thought creeps in. I need more. So, at that moment a thought crept into his mind. If this is Parasmani, touchstone, and I've seen that it is, I've experienced that it is touchstone, how is it that that sadhu, that saint, could part with the Parasmani? There must definitely be something much more valuable that he has. All the gold that he could ever imagine to possess, and he still has the touchstone for future use. Now, this touchstone did not come with an expiry date. Still, this doubt crept into his mind. Therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that for the doubtless soul, there is never any happiness, neither in this world nor in the next. Nayam lokostina paronas sukham samshayatam. Na ayam lokasti na paraloka na sukham samshayatam. But the doubtless soul, there is never happiness. It is, as it is, happiness is very fleeting. And for the doubtless soul, even that experience is rare. So, this Sanatana Goswami must have something much more valuable. So he goes back to Sanatana Goswami, and in a very accusatory tone, he says, you cheated me. You have so much more with you. And therefore it was so easy for you to part with this Parasmani, the touchstone. Why would a saintly personality like you do that to humble, to a very desperate, materially aggrieved person like me? Sanatana Goswami just quietly listens to his words, his accusations. And then he agrees. He says, yes, I have something more valuable. I knew it. Why didn't you give it to me? Said, because you never asked for it. When I ask you right now, give me that valuable object, the valuable gem. Sanatana Goswami said, for that you have to fulfill one condition. Then I'm ready to fulfill all conditions. He's telling me, you know, something better than touchstone, obviously. Any conditions can be fulfilled. What is the condition? You have to throw the Parasmani away, the touchstone away. He said, done. See, I've thrown it away. Like, he throws it into the bushes and carefully notes all the coordinates. Sanatana Goswami says, not like that. You have to throw it into the river Jamuna. He says, Baba, what does it matter? I throw it here, throw it there, it's thrown. You should not be attached to where it is free to be detached. Sanatana Goswami says, I am detached. The condition isn't. The condition specifies that you must throw it away into the jungle. So now he's wondering, what should he do? Should he trust him? Because previously when he had come, he had nothing to lose. He had all to gain. So trust was easy. Now he had everything to lose and he was not sure if he would gain anything. But greed, we can never fathom the intensity with which it devours us. We can never fathom that. So greed completely enveloped his consciousness and he said, done. And with a really like his heart crying out in anguish, with tears of utter separation, he threw away the Paharasmani into the Jamuna, and it was as if some part of his life entered into the Jamuna along. And then, Baba, please help me. No, he was gasping for air. Give me that valuable gem. And Sanatana Goswami says, you have to sit right next to me. Sit down beside me. He says, yes, 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 whatever you say. So he sits down beside him. And Sanatana Goswami says, well, here. And he gives him a bead bag and beads. He says, what is this? He says, have faith. I am giving you the Harinam Chintamani. Never heard of it. He says, this is the jewel, the gem, having possessed or having the Harinam Chintamani, one can easily be detached from all the other jewels of this world. Really? Alright, I'm ready for it. And he's like with the beads and open palms. No, please give it to me. He's waiting to receive it in his palms. He says, this cannot be received by external senses. You have to receive it through your attitude, your consciousness. Okay, whatever that means. Sit down and chant with me, Hare Krishna. And they both sat down and chanted Hare Krishna. And he was so eager to receive something more valuable that that eagerness made him sincere, and the association and blessing of Sanatana Goswami purified him, and he became a great saint, a saint of great repute. And now he began distributing Harinam, a jewel of the holy names, a gem of the holy names to everyone. So here we see how Sanatana Goswami had within his position like all these stocks of Microsoft and much more. That was in his name. And he easily offered it to this gentleman. Because he wasn't as much inspired to seek the benefits that come from such possessions as he was inspired to seek the benefit of the satisfaction of the soul. If we need, you know, if we cannot give up selfishness, then we should try to be the right kind of selfish. And the right kind of selfishness is to serve Krishna. Because in return one gets so much, like Krishna himself wonders, why is my devotee, how is my devotee much more happy than me? And when Krishna, as a Supreme Lord, cannot really understand that, then he comes in the form of his devotee to taste the happiness, the perfection of the soul's existence in serving Krishna through unmotivated and uninterrupted devotional service. So here Srila Prabhupada, he concludes the purport by saying, this line is very inspiring, and whenever we feel a little challenged or we feel a little pushed back by the influence of the material nature, then this sentence could be very helpful. Srila Prabhupada says, the introspective sage, this is the final, the concluding sentence of this purport, it says, the introspective sage goes on with his self-realization activities undisturbed by material reactions. It's very interesting. It does not say undisturbed by material activities. It does not say undisturbed by material desires. He says undisturbed by material reactions. This is so inspirational. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.